Today's shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Ayin Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara Neman Baal Mekach Loimer. A person who sells something is believed to say, "Lezeh Mecharti." To this individual is the one that I sold something. Ulezeh Ein Mecharti, and this is the person who did not sell something. And the Rishonim give a number of explanations why somebody has this type of mnemonis. Rashi explains, because as we often say in Shas, that if somebody commits to sell something to a certain individual and then he doesn't keep his word, he is affected by a curse of Misha Parah, the Dor HaMabel, the person who, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who punished the Dor HaMabel for not having done what's right, for being dishonest. Also, Yifra will pay to somebody she'eino oimer b'diburoi, that made a commitment to sell to somebody and didn't keep his word. So since this person who made a commitment that he's going to sell whatever we're speaking about to this individual, he has to remember to whom he made that commitment, because he has to keep that commitment. The Rashba and the Ritva and the Ran have a different approach. Their approach makes it consistent with what we've been learning in our shiurim. And that is that Chazal saw the need that we have to give everybody, Chazal saw the need that we have to keep business and keep things running. And we won't give a person the mnemonis to say to whom he sold, that we'll never be able to have a strong system of commerce. So Chazal gave a special mnemonis to this seller that he's be able to believe. Another pshat that I saw is that he has a migui. The Machna's approach is that he has a migui. He could have said, "I didn't sell this item altogether." And since I didn't sell this item, if he would have said so, since this item is known to be his item, and if he says, "I didn't sell it," he would be believed to say he didn't sell it. So what he says, "I sold it, but I sold it to this individual," that's why the halacha gives him the mnemonis. Another approach that I saw is that, as we learned, that we're going to learn, there is a special mnemonis given to a dayan, to a judge. And this meicher is similar to a dayan. And therefore, continues the Gemara, when does this meicher have this special mnemonis? Bezman shemacha biyodai, when he's still holding on to what he sold. Aval eimecha biyodai, if he's no longer holding on to it, ein nemon, then he doesn't have that mnemonis anymore. Ask the Gemara, what should it make a difference if he's still holding on or not? If he got paid, so why not nechsi zuzim iman nokat? Why not just see from whom he received payment? And by seeing whom he got payment from, that should be clearly indication who is the person who purchased it. Says the Gemara, loitzricha denokim etavayu. We're referring here to a situation where they both paid. And the way to understand the Gemara, I think, is that they both are, that, and that's the underlying factor in this entire Gemara, that they both want to purchase this item. Not only do they both want to purchase this item, they both even said that they both paid. But the question is, who was the true buyer? V'amar chad medatoy, and now one, the seller says, one was the person who I was willing to sell to, v'chad, and the other one was loy medatoy, not the person I want to sell. And the halacha is that we have, that the seller, as we started the shiur, has the mnemonis to make that declaration, who is the person that truly bought it from him. We learned, and we mentioned this, Nemen Dayan Loim, L'zeh Zekisi, L'zeh Chayavti. The Dayan is believed to say that this is the person that I said is innocent, and this is the person that I said is guilty. So Rashi explains, why does the Dayan have this mnemonis? So Rashi's explanation is because part of being a Dayan, part of being a judge in adjudicating a situation, is to know that you were asked to be the one to say, to determine. So it's your obligation to know who you, who is innocent and who is guilty. However, Rashi explains, that obligation only remains as long as they're in front of you. As long as they're in front of you, that's how long you have that, you as the dying, have the obligation to remember. Once they leave you, it's no longer your obligation to remember forever what you said. Another pshat that I saw that the Ria Zokin explains is that when that we're referring here to two litigants that chose an individual to adjudicate a matter between them. And part of when they chose and agreed to have this individual adjudicate the matter was that they were saying that we trust his decision. Not only do we trust his decision, but we accept that as long as we're still standing there, that as long as we're still standing there, he will, whatever he says is what we're going to do. But once we're not there, but once we leave, our acceptance of him no longer is part of our agreement. And therefore, since that it's no longer our agreement, then the halacha is that we don't have, he has no more longer among us. The Rishonim also point out a very interesting point. They say that an aide, a witness, how long can a witness be trusted? So the halacha is that a witness can be trusted essentially forever, for 60 years, I saw one number. But they say a witness and a dayan are not the same. Why are a witness and a dayan not the same? Because a witness has the obligation, that's what a witness is all about. An aide is all about seeing, remembering, and testifying. So since that's all part of his obligation, he makes sure to remember even for a very long time. The dayan's role is a very different role. The role of a dayan is to say, this is the halacha. Once he says there's a halacha, this is the halacha, he has no requirement to remember. Since he has no requirement to remember, he's no longer believed after they're not there anymore. So again, says the Gemara, this one I said is innocent, this one I said is guilty. But when is that said? As long as the balidinim I'm the lefanav, as the two litigants are standing there, avol ain baladin I'm the lefanav, if the two litigants are no longer there, ain't an eman. But the Ritva points out that this is only in a situation where there's a single dayan, or there's a whether it's a dayan mumcha, or it's a dayan that both parties, as we said, agreed to accept as the person would adjudicate the matter. But in a situation where you have a bezdin has namonis even when the balei dinim are no longer there. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, v'nechsi z'chusa ma'noket. Why, when a psak, when a decision is rendered, it's put down in paper. So the Gemara's question is, let's look what it says on that piece of paper. And says the Gemara, the piece of paper is no longer here, and it's not available for us to review and see what it says there. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, why don't we just retry the case? And says the Gemara, we're talking about a case where the case was adjudicated by the Shuda the Dina. So there's a machloikus, a very big machloikus in Shas, between Rashi and Tosfos, what is the definition of Shuda D'Dayna? The Rashi explains that Shuda D'Dayna means that in certain cases where the case is not absolutely clear, the Dayan could decide based on what he thinks is right. But that thinking might change. And that's why we can't change on that. We can't rely on that. Tosfos' definition of Shuda D'Dayna is that in certain situations where we can't judge the case based on established halachic principles, the halacha gives the dayonim the right to make the decision that they should that whatever they want goes, and they don't have to give any reason. And therefore, we could understand the Gemara very well, according to Tosfos. Here, we're concerned that now the Dayanim the first time wanted it to be this way, and we're concerned that they may not say the same the second time. The Yavit says, when the Gemara uses the word Shuda Dadaini, Loshin Yochid, means that the only time something is considered a case of Shuda Dadaini is only when you have one Dayan. When you have one Dayan, that's when you have Shuda Dadaini. But when you have three Dayanim, even though the Dayanim made a decision not necessarily on strong halachic principles, but because it was made by three Dayanim, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is that that has the full halacha of a full-fledged psak. It's not considered a situation to the Dayanim. Moreover, I saw that the Rishonim, the Ritva, makes a very nice observation. He says, the Gemara's only concern is that since this psak was rendered by Shuda Dadaini, as we just learned, it wasn't really rendered based on the claims, or strictly based on the claims that the two litigants made. So that's why we can't do it over. Says the Ritva, but why isn't the Gemara concerned that when the Gemara asked that we should do the Din Torah again, why shouldn't we be concerned that now each litigant knows what the other litigant says, and they may change their claims because they recognize how presenting their claims in a different way might favor them? The Ritva makes the observation that that concern wasn't mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara is not concerned that the litigants will change their claims. And as I sort of advised, there could be one of two pshatim. One pshat is that the litigants are scared to do so because they know that the Dayanim may remember that that's not what you said last time. And because the Dayanim may say, well, that's not what you said last time, that's what causes the litigants not to say something which they didn't say the first time. Or it should just be because the litigants are honest people. And because the litigants are honest people, we don't need to be concerned that they're going to just change their claims in order to win the case. Amram Nachman says the Gemara Shlosh and Amonim, there are three that can be trusted. Ala Bechor, we have twins, and we don't know which of these two twins is the firstborn. So the three that could be trusted. Elohim, Chaya, the midwife that helped these children be born. Aviv, the father. The Imoi, and the mother. Chaya, says the Gemara, the midwife is believed right after the child is born. Imoi, the mother is believed Kol Shiva for all seven, the first 7 days of the child's birth. Aviv, and the father is believed forever. So what the shear is as long that the midwife is believed. One, so we have here the same machlokes that we had on in our previous shear, where is it as long as the midwife did not leave the room, or is it as long as even a shorter amount of time, as long as she did not turn her face from this baby? Mother is believed for the first 7 days. And there's a very interesting machloikus rishonim, how to understand this namonis that the mother has for the first 7 days. Is this a halacha, that the mother has halacha, has namonis, is trusted for the first 7 days, and the father is not trusted during the first 7 days? Or is pshat that the father is trusted always? That's the first opinion that we just cited. It seems to be the opinion of Rashi. The Rambam says that, as we're going to learn, the Torah with the word Yaker gives the father Nemonis. Since the Torah gives the father Nemonis, he's Nemon from when the baby is born. But on top of the father being Nemon from when the baby is born, there's a new Nemonis that's introduced in our sugya that the mother has for the first 7 days of the baby's life. Ketanya, says the Gemara, as we learned in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, we spoke about this pasuk. The Torah speaks about kisiyana leish. If a person has shnei noshim achas ahuva v'achas nuah, and we discuss what the definition of achas for snua doesn't mean that he dislikes the woman. Ahuva doesn't mean that he likes the woman, but it depends actually on the status of the marriage. But both of them are his full-fledged wife. And the one who's considered the snua is the one that had the bechor. And the Torah says the words, kes bechor ben asnua yakir, losis loy pishnayim. Says, what do we learn from the word yakir? Yakirenu lacherim. He's the one they can make the identification of this child. Bikan Amar Bihuda, Neman Adam Laim Zebani Bechar. A father could say that this son is a Bechar. Shem Shnem Laim Zebani Bechar. Just like he has the ability to make that identification. Kach Neman, so too does he have the Neman Islam Zeb Ben Grusha, that this child is a Ben Grusha and he's not a qualified Kayan. Zeb Ben Chalutza. The opinion of the Chachamim is that he has the Namonim, but he only has Namonis on to say he's a Bechor, but he doesn't have Namonis to say that he's not a Bechor, to say a disqualification. So I saw that the Rishonim asked, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a father has Namonis to say that this is my son, but he's a Ben Gerusha, by declaring that his son is a Ben Gerusha, he's also declaring that he did an Aveira, that he married a woman that he wasn't supposed to. And isn't there a rule throughout Shas that Ein Odom Meis Matzman Rosh, a person cannot say that he did an Aveira? So Tosfos Rosh and the Mukhi Yosef say, he says, I married this woman, B'shagig. I wasn't aware that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, or I wasn't aware that I wasn't aware that she was a Grusha. Ritva says that that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's part of what Yakir teaches us. That the Torah, as we've been learning, gives the father a special namonis based on Yakir. And included in that namonis is that even though we ought to say that Ein Odom Meis Matzim Rasha, and he should not be believed when he's saying that this child's identity is connected to him having done an Aveira, but Yakir tells us that he is Neman. The Rishash says that we're referring here to a situation where everybody knows that this person married somebody that he wasn't supposed to. So when he's coming and saying that his son is a Ben Gerusha, he's not really teaching us or telling us something that we don't know. We know that he married a Grusha. So then when he says, you all know I married a Grusha, and now I'm saying that this child is a Ben Grusha, that isn't really considered Ein Odom Meis Matzim Rasha, because we already know that he's a Rasha, and therefore, as far as that's concerned, that's why he's Neman. As I saw, the Chashukei Chemed has a very interesting question over here. The Reuven married a Balas Tshuva, and her grandfather, this woman's grandfather, was a prominent Orthodox Jew. Her father, unfortunately, wasn't observant, and she became an observant Jew, and she married an observant Jew. One day, this wife tells her husband that many years ago, her father told her that he's really not the son of her grandfather. That means we're assuming that he's Jewish, because everybody knew his grandfather, her father's father, was an observant Jew. So that's for sure his son must be a Jew. So now the question is that it could very well be that what the father was saying is that I am a mamzer. The father, by saying to his son, you're not my son, was really saying that you're a mamzer. And if the father's a mamzer, then this person, this woman who he married, is a mamzeris. So now the question is, do we need to be concerned about this entire story? So the Shulchan Aruch and Avin Ezra Siman Dalet Sif Lama teaches us, if somebody says about themselves they're a mamzer, he can know indeed not marry a regular Jewish woman. Ha'esav osba mamzeres, he may not marry a mamzeres either. At shivod avadai, until we know with certainty shu mamzer, that he's a mamzer, ubenai kamahu. V'myesh loy bnei bonim, if this person has grandchildren, ein anem lifsal alatzma, what he's saying can only affect himself. So we see from here that certainly the father, even if he said it, we have no reason to be concerned, because the Shulchan Aruch says if they are grandchildren, we don't need to be concerned. So there are many reasons why not to be concerned. One is because what we just mentioned. Another reason is because there's no yakir. Yakir is only when somebody says about his own son to us. We did not hear this ever from the grandfather. Also, just because the grandfather told this boy, you're not my son, doesn't mean he's a mamzer. He could have meant that you were born through artificial insemination, you were adopted, and therefore, because of all these reasons, says the Chashuk Yechemet, there's no reason to be concerned, and he can continue living with his wife without any problems. We learned in the Mishnah, Abishol Hayukari Lishtuki, Abishol would call somebody who's a shtuki, beduki. Ask the Gemara, my beduki, what was meant when he called him a beduki? Ilem Shabaitim Esimai, that when we have a woman who we know is the mother of this child, we just don't know who the father of this child is, and we ask Vaimeres L'Koshon Avalti, if she says that the person from whom I got pregnant was a kosher Jew, the menis, says the Gemara Kaman, whose opinion is that we trust what she says? That's the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Ask the Gemara, Tanina Chadazimna, if that's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us, ask the Gemara, we've already learned the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, and Masech Subis on Daf Yud Gimel Amin Aleph, the Tanan, the Mishnah over there teaches us about a single woman, Haisim Uberis, that's pregnant, and we asked her, Mativa Shalubazu, what is the status of this fetus? Varmalam, and she responds, Mish Ploini, it's the child of this man, the Kainhu, and that person who impregnated me is a kosher Jew without any question. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezo, Amin Amenis, that we trust her. And the Gemara over there explains that even though we trust her, we only trust her to the degree that he's considered a kosher Jew. But let's say she's saying, as the literal words of what she's saying is, that she's a kahenis, that we don't necessarily trust her. He wouldn't be allowed to do the avoida. He wouldn't be allowed to get truma. Similarly, the Ritva points out that if she says that he's a bechor, we wouldn't necessarily believe her in that regard either. We only, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, believe her that he's a kosher Jew. Rabbi Shua Aimer, Rabbi Shua's opinion is, let me appear on the kind, we can't trust her at all. The halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. Because according to Rabbi Shua, we have to be concerned that maybe she had relations with a mamzer or a nosin, etc. And I saw that the Mefarshim point out that we don't have to be concerned about a goy, because the halacha is, we paskin, have lot kosher. So we're more concerned about Jews who are disqualified than about the non-Jew. So ask the Gemara, our Mishnah is teaching us the same thing as the Gamliel. Why was it necessary to be repeated? Answers the Gemara, Chad Lahach Shabo, one Mishnah was here to teach us that she does not become disqualified. And for example, if she is a Kohenis, she comes from the family of Kohanim, or she'll marry a Kohen, she'll be allowed to eat Truma, Chad Lahach Shabita, that the child is considered a kosher child. Ask the Gemara, but if you learn the Gemara, Masech Tiksubis will see. According to the Manda Amar that says we trust her as far as she's concerned, but we don't trust her as far as her daughter's concerned, So we now have our Mishnah to teach us that we trust her not only as far as she herself is concerned, but we trust her as far as her child's status as well. Elamand amadivri ha-machshebo. Machshebebito, that we learned that's what Rav Gamliel is teaching us from Sechtek Subos. So then ask the Gemara, so that Abba Shaul is not coming to teach us anything new. So ask the Gemara, Abba Shaul, my Asala Mashminan, what's Abba Shaul coming to teach us that we already haven't learned from Masechtik Subas? Answers the Gemara, the Abba Shaul adif from the Gamliel. What Rabbi Shaul is teaching us is even a step further than Gamliel. Dima Hasham, if we only had the Mishnah Masechtik Subas, Havamina Hasham. Why is Gamliel accept what she says there? The Rav Kshair Metzlai, she's single. So most people will not disqualify a single girl. Avol Hecha, the Rav Psul Metzla. Let's say the woman is an Arusa. So if she's an Arusa, as we often discuss in our Shiurim, as far as Halacha is concerned, the Arusa has a din of an Eishes Ish. So anybody besides the man who is her Oris is Asa Tahar, and the child born, if anybody else had relations to her, with her, would be a mamzer. So maybe our Mishnah, which is speaking about an Arusa, a Maloy, we won't believe her, Tzrichan, that comes Abba Shaul in our Mishnah to say that if she says that what she's essentially saying is that I had relations with my Oris, and that's why the child that was born here is perfectly kosher, says our Mishnah that she's Namenis, and tells us the Gemara, Amar Rava, says Rava, Halakha Abba Shaul. So the Rishonim discuss why indeed is the Halakha if she's Namenis for herself, she's also Namenis for a child. So the simple pshat that the Rishonim say is that the Cheskes Kashrus, the mother has a Cheskes Kashrus, that Cheskes Kashrus is able to extend to the child as well, which of course many Mefarshim, notably the Shef Shemaitza, have a very big problem with this. They say that the Cheskes Kashrus can help the person himself. How could Cheskes Kashrus help for the child as well? So the way I think that the Shef Shemaitza answers this question is that there are two different elements to a Cheskes Kashrus. One element of a Cheskes Kashrus is that a person has a Cheskes Kashrus. And therefore, whenever we have a question, we can rely on the Cheskes Kashrus to make a determination. But there's another factor in Chazaka. A Chazaka is one of the methods that when we have a question, what to do, when we have a suffix, the Chazaka tells us what to do. When we're learning here that when she's believed for herself, we also believe her for her child, and we're saying that it's based on a chazaka, what we're really saying is that this, it's not the cheskes kashrus of the mother that we're passing on to the child, but what we're really saying is that the cheskes kashrus is that you, the cheskes kashrus tells us that when we don't know what to do, rely on chazaka. And not only, and even when this child himself, herself, don't have a chazaka, but the chazaka of the mother is a way of telling us what to do here, and therefore the child, we believe her about herself, we also believe her about a child. Says the Mishnah, Kol Asurim Lava B'Kol, anyone who can't be married into Kahal Yisrael, most notable example would be a mamzer, Mitarm Lava B'Zeh. They can't marry a kol kosher, but they can intermarry. Rabbi Yehuda Iser, and the Gemara will explain this halacha. Rabbi Lazar Mevadim Mevadon, two people who are certainly osur. For example, a mamzer and a nosin, who are both people who are osur to marry into Klal Yisrael, to marry with each other. Vadon Vavadon Mutar. Vadon, a mamzer or a nosin, are not allowed to marry B'seker, a shtuki, and a sufi, because we don't know that the mamzer we know is certainly somebody who can't marry into Klal Yisrael. And the shtuki and a sufi, we don't know their status. Sveikin mevadon, similarly, a shtuki and a sufi can't marry a mamzer or a nosin. Besfeken, besfeken, two shtukis, a shtuki and a shtukis, and a sufi and a sufis, that can't marry each other because one may really be a kosher Jew and one may not. Veilena sufekis identifies the Mishnah we just spoke about, sfeken, who are the sfeikis, shtuki, somebody who doesn't know, as we just discussed, who his father is. A sufi is somebody from, there was a child that was found in the street, we don't know who his parents are. The kutim, as we're going to discuss on Daf Ayin Vav, these were a nation. Sancheriv's strategy as he was going to war in the world was that he would misplace people, displace people in different places. And he brought the kutim to Eretz Yisrael, and they became gerim. And as we're going to discuss on Daf Ayin Vav in Mitzvah Shem, there's a question about the status of their geirs. So the Mishnah began, Kol Asurim Lava B'Kol. Ask the Gemara, my Kol Asurim Lava B'Kol. What is meant when we speak about them? Ask the Gemara, Ilay Me Mamzerim Nesinim. Mamzerim Nesinim are individuals who are certainly also to become part of, to marry into Klal Yisrael. V'Stuki V'Asuf, Mamzerim Nesini. V'Stuki V'Asufi of Pasul. Ask the Gemara, if that's the din that the Mishnah is coming to teach us, that the Shtuki and a Sufi, the Tanakhama holds, is allowed to marry the Mamzer and the Nosson, a Tanalei Reisha. We learned in the first Mishnah of the Perek, Mamzer v'Nesini, Shtuki v'Sufi, Mutarim, Lov v'Zabazah, that they're allowed to marry each other. So what is the Mishnah teaching us that we haven't, what is the Mishnah teaching us that we haven't learned already? Fsu, and another question. Rabbi Huda and our Mishnah continue to say, Rabbi Huda Oyser, says the Gemara, what was meant when Rabbi Huda said Oyser? Ilema Avodim Besfeken, if it's coming to tell us that somebody who's posel Vadai may not marry somebody who's posel Misafik, ask the Gemara, Hamidik Tani Sefer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. And the Mishnah said, Rabbi Lezer, Oymer, Vadim, Vadim, Os, Motor. Vadim, Besfeken, 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 Osor. Rabbi Lezer is the one that holds that Vadim, Besfeken, Osor. Mechlal, isn't that indication that Rabbi Yehuda lois very late? So, ask the Tosfos Rosh, why don't we say that Rabbi Yehuda says Sfeken, Vadim, are Osun, but he won't speak about Sfeikin b'sfeikin, and Rabbi Lezer comes to take a step further and says that not only Sfeikin b'vadan are osun, but even Sfeikin b'sfeikin are osun. Says the Tosfos Rosh, if that's what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say, he should have said it much more clearer. The fact that it wasn't said that way is an indication that that's not what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say. The key time, if you're going to say what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to teach us in our Mishnah, is Ger b'Mamzeris, that he's come to say that a Ger may not marry a Mamzeris, as we learned on Daf Ayin Beis, that the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is the Kal Gerim Irkri Kol, the Gerim are considered full-fledged members of Klal Yisrael, and since they're considered full-fledged members of Klal Yisrael, they may not marry a Mamzer, and that's what he means to say. It says the Gemara, if that's what he means to say in our Mishnah, Midi Gebrim Zeres Ktani, was that what was stated in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah spoke about Kol Asurim Lava B'Kol Ktani, and it doesn't have anything to do with a Ger. And moreover, a Ger is not somebody who's Asurim Lava B'Kol. Amar of Yehuda answers the Gemara of Yehuda, says that when the Tanakhama says Kol Asurim Lava B'Kol, he doesn't mean everybody. What he means is people who may not marry Kohanim, Vachikoma. And this is what the Tanakhama means to say. Kol Asurim Lover B'Kal Kohuna, anyone who may not marry Koyin, or my Niu, who is that may not marry a Koyin? Giyaris B'chusim B'ashtal Shon V'yechad. Even if you have a Giyaris that is less than 3 years old. So the way to understand the Gemara is certainly if you have a Giyaris that's over 3 years old, she may not marry a Kohen. Because we have to be concerned that she had relations before she became a Geyaris. And if a woman had relations, she becomes a Zoyna, and she may not marry a Kohen. However, if this Goyiris is less than 3 years old, so if she's less than 3 years old, then we have no concern about, even if she did have relations, we know that if relations are done before the girl is 3 years old, the Soleach Chayzrin, still, since she's a Goyiris, the Tana Kama holds, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. The like of Shimon Yechai, this is different than what Rav Shimon Yechai says, that he holds that a Goyiris that became a Goyiris when she was less than 3 years old may marry Kohen. But Tom loves Avazah. The halacha is that she is allowed to marry a Mamzer or a Nosson, because this Tana Kama's opinion is the Kahal Gerim lo yikrakol, and a Ger can marry a Mamzeris. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're explaining Tana Kama, why Vidnokma, why do we have to say that this Geyiris is even less than 3 years old, and say that that the Geyiris that the Tana Kama is referring to is a Geyiris that became a Geyiris, the Bashal Shon of Yamachot, when she was older than 3 years old, and then even Rav Shimon ben Yochai will agree that such a girl may not marry a Kohen, and she can marry a Mamzer. In Cain, asked the Gemara, if we're going to say that the Tana Kama is speaking about a Geyiris who's over 3 years old, but see the Tavra, the question on that pshat would automatically be understood from the Mishnah. Tama, because we'll say that when could the Geyiris marry the Mamzeris? Because she became a Geyiris Bashal Shana V'yomechad, when she was over 3 years old. What would that seem to say? If she became a Geyiris when she was less than 3 years old, Mataris love of Kalkahuna, then as Rav Shimon ben Yochai holds, she's allowed to marry Kohen, and then the halacha it would be Asur love of Zebzeh, she cannot marry a Mamzer. Ask the Gemara, when you have a Geyiris who became a Geyiris when she was less than 3 years old, Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Mataris love of Kalkahuna, she can marry a Kohen, but at the same hand, Mataris Lava Zabazah, she still can marry a Mamzer, because she's still a Geyiris. And the Tanakam is obviously of the opinion that Kahal Gerib, like we call him, they can marry a Mamzer. So why would we differentiate between a Geyiris that's became a Geyiris when she's less than 3 years old, or she became a Geyiris when she's over 3 years old? Ask the Gemara, is this a rule, the Kolak Surum Lava Kalkohona, that anybody can't marry Kohen, Mutter Lava Zebazah can marry a Mamzer? What about an Amona Grush V'chalal of a Zayna? That all of them are Surum Lava Kalkohona, these are all examples of women that can't marry Kohen, the Surum Lava Zebazah, they certainly can't marry a Mamzer. The Su, another question, Hamutter, Osir, is it a fact that if somebody can marry a Kohen, they can't marry a Mamzeris? Vrei Ger. A Ger is Mutter B'Kohenis. A Kohen may not marry a Geyiris, but a Ger can marry a Kohenis. But that doesn't change the Halacha that is Mutter B'Mamzeris. So this can't be Pshat in the Mishnah. El Amar Rav Nosson Ba'ishia, the Pshat of the Mishnah is as follows. The Tana Kama is coming to speak about Psuli Kahuna, Hachakayim, and this is the Peshat of the Tanakam, Kol Shekoyin Osalisis Pitoi, anyone who has a daughter, that a Koyin may not marry that daughter, my Nihu, what is that example? A Ger Shinosu Giyaris, a Ger that married a Giyaris, a Koy Trebeleza Ben Yaakov, that the halacha is that such a girl, even if she was born as a Jew, but her parents are Gerim, may not marry a Koyin, Matarim Lava Zebazah can marry a Mamzer. Because, going back to the point that we've been making all along, because Kal Gerim Loyakri Klal. Ask the Gemara, the Klalahu, would this be a correct rule? The Kosha Kain Osalisa Bitoi, that if the Kohen may not marry someone's daughter, Matarim Lava Zebazah, that individual can marry a Mamzer? Rei Cholol Shanosu Bas Yisrael. If we have a Cholol marrying a Bas Yisrael, that the child will be a chalola. And since the child will be a chalola, The halacha is koin asalisa bitoy. The daughter can't marry that. The koin can't marry that girl. Yet that girl is a full-fledged regular Jewish woman, and vasur nam lovers of zeh. She can't marry a mamzer. Since the gemara lekashka b'yehuda ben d'stoy, because b'yehuda ben d'stoy, whose opinion has been cited a number of times in our shiurim, says that if a cholol married a bas yisrael, the daughter can marry a koin. So what's your question? That here we have a girl who can't marry Kohen, but can't marry Mamzer either. That's incorrect. Such a girl can marry a Kohen. And therefore, the rule of the Mishnah isn't applicable here. Ask the Gemara a different question. When both parents are Chalolim, that there everybody agrees, the Kohen also Lisa Bitoy, a Kohen can't marry their daughter, but the halach is that that girl, also Nami, lovers of Zeh, cannot marry a mamzer. The Su, another question, that you're saying that anybody whose daughter, a Kohen, may not marry, can marry a mamzer, her mutter. So you, what is the flip side of that? That if you have a situation that the Kohen is allowed to marry the daughter, then Usser, that child would not be allowed to marry a mamzer. Ask the Gemara, Reger Shenosim Bas Yisrael, what would be the halacha if a Kohen married a Bas Yisrael? We're going to learn that Kohen Mutar Lisa Bitoy, the Kohen can marry their daughter, but the daughter is still considered a Geyiris. And since the daughter is considered a Geyiris, Matan Lavaz Abazek can marry a Mamzer. So that can't be the rule of the Tanakhama either. Ela Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avua, Hacha, our Mishnah, we have a machloikis between the Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda is referring to a mamzer machoisai. Somebody lived with his sister and they had a baby. The isser to live with one sister is a chiv karis. Well, mamzer, and then we have another type of mamzer where Rachman Tzlan and Ashes Ish had relations with another man. The punishment for an Ashes Ish to live with another man is not just Karis, it's Mises Bezdin, Ikavanayu. And that will be the subject of the Machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. If you have these two types of Mamzerim, one is a Mamzer from an Issa Karis, and one is a Mamzer from an Ashes Ish. They're both Mamzerim, but the level of the Surim are not the same. What's going to be the halacha? Could these two Mamzerim marry each other? Tanakama Sover, I feel a Mamzer Machoisa, now we have a Mamzer. What's the difference how this individual is a Mamzer? If it's from an Issa Karis or an Issa Mesis Bezdin. A Mamzer is a Mamzer, and all Mamzerim may intermarry. A Yehuda Sover, may Ashishish have a Mamzer. A Yehuda's opinion is going to be that a child born from a relationship which carries with it a Mesis Bezdin is a Mamzer, but Machoisa, which is an Issa Karis, lo have a Mamzer. And since such a child, according to Yehuda, is not a mamzer, then therefore we can understand that why he'll hold that they can't get intermarried because they're not mamzerim. Ask the Gemara if that's what we're saying. The machlokes of the Tanakhama of Yehuda is what makes a mamzer a chiv koris or just a chiv mises bezdin. My kamash malon, what is our Mishnah teaching us that we haven't learned already? Tanina, we already learned this machloikis, and Masechta Yevamim Staf Mem Tesam and Aleph, because the Mishnah over there teaches us, Ezu Mamzer, Koshloi Beloyava Diver Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva's opinion is that even from Chai Vilavin is a Mamzer. Shimon Hatamani Omer, Koshloi Chayavin Kav Kiris Bidei Shemayim, any relationship that carries with it a Chiv Karis, Valoch Ketvar, the Mishnah there taught us, and Shu Omer, Koshloi Chayavin La Mises Bezdin. So everything that we just said was taught, if that's the machlokes of the Tanakhama of Yehuda, we learned that all already in Masechta. We learned that all already in Masechta Yevamos. El Amarava, what is the subject between of machlokes between the Tanakhama of Yehuda? Ger Amoyne May Avi Ikavanayu. If Amoyne May Avim may marry Mamzerus. Vachkov, Tanakhama says, Kol Asurim Lova Bekol, May Niyu Ger Amoyne May Avi. The Torah doesn't allow us to marry Ger Amoni and Me'avi, so that they weren't mentioned. Ger Amoni and Me'avi weren't mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Comes the Tanakhama say, Mataram Lavazabazah to marry a Mamzer. Ask the Gemara, if that's who our Mishnah is referring to, and that's what the Tanakhama is teaching us, ask the Gemara, Yahya, my Rabbi Yehuda Isa, why is Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing? Says the Gemara Hakama. Even though we've been learning that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a ger may not marry a mamzeris, because as we keep on repeating, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that kahal gerim ikri kol, says the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda teaches us, what kind of a ger do I say may not marry a mamzer? Hanimili ger deroi love of a kol, a ger that can marry into Klal Yisrael. Avol, ger amoni me'avi, they ruin love of a kol, they can't be part of Klal Yisrael. The halach is, Rabbi Yehuda will say, loy, here I agree that such gerim, ger amoni me'avi, may marry mamzerim. The Rishash has a discussion, what will be the halach by Mitzri v'adoimi? Because Mitzri v'adoimi aren't exactly like a ger amoni v'amoni. A ger amoni and me'avi is also forever, just like a mamzer is also forever. A mitzri, it's only the first of two generations. What will be the halacha by a mitzri, the first two generations? Will they be considered like amoni and me'avi? Or since it's not forever, they're not like amoni and me'avi. And the other question that he asks is, what about an amoni and amonis? We learned that only an Amoini can never be accepted into Klal Yisrael even after he's Megayer, but not a female. So the question is, the halacha that we just learned, that we learned that Tanakhana Rabbi Yehuda agree, what will be by Amoinus? So as far as a Mitzri V'adoimi, he says the first and the second generation Mitzri V'adoimi may marry a Mamzer. As far as the question of Amoinus, he says an Amoinus is like a regular Geyrus, and since according to Yehuda, a regular Geyrus ger may not marry a Mamzer, that will be the halacha by a minus as well.